There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And I'm about to talk to Pepper Breyers in just a second. I do want a couple texts here during the news break. David says, let me throw a legal wrench into the former governor's thinking about running for state office versus federal office. All elections, federal and state positions, are state elections. The federal government actually does not run any state elections or any elections in the country. True, David, but I think, and we'll have to get the crack research team on this. We go hit up Ask Jeeves or something like that. That I think the language in the agreement that the former governor signed off on said he wouldn't run for state office. I think the language, I think the semantics are important here. I need to get that document before I say I'm completely sure of myself on it, but let me look. I think the language said something to the effect of he wouldn't run for a state office. Then you get into, because I would argue, the old idea of the Senate, right? Your senators were your ambassadors to the federal government. That would be the essence of state, but that would be, of course, your federal delegation. This may get very, very interesting, and we'll see if he actually says he's going to run or not. He's not writing it out. He's not, because he's not completely putting down the cool sculpting yet. He's just leaving it open for the possibility of putting down the cool sculpting to run for federal office. All right, it's a conversation we've had a little bit from time to time on the show. One of those other planks of what's happening in Montgomery or could happen this session, but really have not talked to about it very much because it's been overshadowed by things like the ass tax increase and, of course, lotto fever. And that is Medicaid in Alabama and expansion and what that would mean to our state. And it's good to check in with Pepper Breyers here, checking in to talk about why we shouldn't. Pepper, is that what it is, or what's your thought on this? What should we do?
Hey, look, we shouldn't do anything right now because we've got economists on the left saying that it would be an economic boom to the state if we expand Medicaid, and we've got economists on the right saying that it would bankrupt our state. And they both seem to have credible arguments. Their research is well presented. But, you know, our message to the state legislature is look, we don't have to do this. And the data that's coming back from states that have done it is showing that the conservative economists were probably right, that this is bankrupting budgets across the country.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, it's Pepper Breyers, API, Alabama Policy Institute. And I want y'all to go read this op-ed. And I do like the fact that obviously you and I are from the same time frame because you referenced the Choose Your Own Adventure books kids to find your own ending. But you tackle something there that is important. Those of us that try to read as much as we can and figure out before shooting off with an opinion will go out there, and you laid it out here. I'll find a study that seems credible, that tells me this is a Medicaid expansion for Alabama would be a boon. It'd be great to save hospitals and the money be reinvested and all these things would be great. And why aren't we on board? And then I'll read another study that tells me, and not so fast, this could be a real problem. This could be a cost that we, even though we have a match money situation, it could be a really big problem for our budget in the state of Alabama. And I don't know which ones to believe.
Well, when you have these forecasts that and these predictions that are, you know, so far apart, the first thing you need to do is look at what evidence you do have. And thankfully, because Alabama didn't, you know, jump in head first with a lot of these other states, we're able to see which ones and what's happening in states that are similar size to Alabama. The demographics may be a little similar. I mean, you can look up at Indiana. They're going bankrupt in their state budget because they're having to start to pay their share of the state share of this Medicaid expansion. So you're saying, well, you know, the data coming back is showing that right now this isn't really a good idea. So, you know, earlier in the session we heard some from some lawmakers that were trying to make some deals in order to pass, get their votes for the gas tax, saying, you know, Governor Ivey should take a closer look at expanding Medicaid. We haven't heard much more about that, but we want to keep the pressure on and say, look, if you believe some of those studies, if you believe the wild predictions of economic boom, just wait and see. Let's give it a few more years because this data coming back is not looking good.
Okay, with that, and I like the idea of the states being the laboratories, right, to watch what other states do and learn from their mistakes or glean from their successes what we can do here. But with that, is there any timeline that we'd miss? Is there any deadline that Alabama needs to do something by before something changes here? I hear people say, we got to get in now or it'll change. What changes?
Look, you know, fools rush in. If they want to put a deadline, you know, Congress can adjust things as they go along. But if they want to put a deadline to make us make a bad decision, that's like going to one of those high speed pressure pitches for a timeshare. When somebody tells me I got to make a decision right now, I say thank you very much and walk away.
There you go. And you think it applies here at the federal toward state level as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we need to take a step back and look at this. You know, this is all part of Obamacare. This was a key feature of Obamacare. Medicaid, you know, is insurance, government-funded insurance for the poorest of the poor, mm-hmm. you know, and disabled people, really, in scripture terms, you know, the least of these.
Right.
But President Obama came along and said, well, we're going to, you know, the least of these plus, you know, a few more, you know, and some others. And they're not considering a key factor in this because the reason why it's bankrupting people, bankrupting states and costing much more is because they'll look at it and they'll run their calculations. They'll say, okay, we'll have 100,000 additional people sign up for Medicare in the state, and that's going to cost X amount of dollars, and the federal government is going to fund X amount, and we're going to fund Y amount. And then they open up the program, and 200,000 people sign up for it. And it was like, whoa, we didn't expect all of that. And I think they should have expected it, because what happens here is the people that are on the margins of eligibility, right, that are kind of making a little bit too much, they might be in a situation where they're making a little bit too much to qualify for that free insurance. Well, there are some people that will adjust mm-hmm. their circumstances. And what we've done, think about what we've done there. Instead of helping somebody, we've given them an incentive to go backwards and to stay in a lesser income bracket, rather than giving them an incentive to go higher and really flourish as they could. And that's not kind. That's not helping anybody. So aside from the numbers being bad, you know, you end up hurting people. And, you know, but we do need to take care. We don't need to lose sight of this. You know, we're a compassionate people, and we want the least of these truly to be taken care of, or people that are on unemployment for a brief period of time. You know, we need to help out our fellow people, but not in a way that hurts.
And that's, if you're just joining us, talking to Pepper Bryars with Alabama Policy Institute, and that's one of the many consistencies with y'all, like we've talked about over time, that some things I agree with y'all, some things I disagree, but I always respect the consistency, and y'all have had a level of not just numbers with API, that it's not, you do consider the human component in it, and that's to be respected. And so in that, how do you fix the problem? I mean, I understand you're explaining, which is a good way to look at it, how the system might be gamed and a state might be overwhelmed with the number of people getting on. But what do you do in the meantime for those people that are in need?
Well, what we can do is Congressman Gary Palmer from the Birmingham area talked a little bit about, you know, expanding some of the block grants that the federal government can provide to the states to handle some of the people that are falling through the cracks who could be eligible for some type of help obtaining government insurance. And that's essentially saying, hey, don't tell me how to do it, Washington. If you want this problem solved, just give us some money and let the people who are closest to the problem, who can see it and touch it and feel it and know these people, let us try to solve the problem the way that we think can be best accomplished. And, you know, and by the way, we're going to look at some other states and see what's working and see what's failing, what to take on and what to avoid. That's the way to handle these things, not have this one-size-fits-all program that you've got to buy right now or it goes away. Mm-hmm. It leads to suffering, not just budget deficits and debt. It just doesn't help people.
What about for the not just the individuals, but the infrastructure of healthcare, and those that say, hey, it's a good thing to expand Medicaid, point out to the closures of hospitals in the state? I'm sure that if it hadn't been used yet, it will be used in the future. Hospital deserts out there, as you look at so many rural parts of our state where they're closing down.
Right. I mean, you know, Searcy Hospital.
Yeah, big deal.
That was closed. But look, it's not just Medicaid reimbursements or the lack of Medicaid reimbursements or government funding that's causing some of these rural hospitals to close. The New York Times took a look at it and found out that, well, you know, people are moving from the country into the city. There's less folks out there. So, you know, we want this big hospital with these wings and these beds sitting there waiting for everybody, but can the market support it? You know, because a lot of times where, you know, 20 years ago, you'd go into a hospital and you'd stay there one or two or three nights. Now you're walking in one door and walking out the other.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine is changing. You know, so it's not these hospitals are, some of these hospitals are closing for market reasons, and they're closing, but it's not that there's no healthcare being there. There's something else that's materializing to meet the need.
And so. With this, once again, there are going to be, as you're saying, sit back and watch other states. There's good analogs for Alabama. I mean, you pointed out Kansas and some other states. I mean, they have some pretty rural areas, I guess, to compare.
Right. I mean, we've got 50 other places to look at. And that's why, you know, I am cautious about anything that needs to be the same everywhere. That's my main objection to this Common Core thing. Like, not to change the subject, but when we when everybody thinks the same way, then somebody isn't thinking. You know, General Patton said that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not what we need. We need flexibility. We need to run our state and our counties and our cities and our communities the way that we want to. And we're closest to the problem. So having Washington come down with, you know, a stack of money with a bundle of strings attached to it, It's not a good thing. It's never really worked out in any program you can point to.
It's always a temptation, though. You see it from a state level. You even see it down, you know, at a municipal level, that there are these big matching dollars, right? That you, the municipality or the county or the state, has to come up with 10 or 20% of whatever it is, because there's this 80% of federal money coming. And if you don't get it, Pepper, somebody else is going to get it. And that money's going to go somewhere else. And I see the temptation if you think, okay, we have this need. We can come up with the 20%. We can come up with the 30%, so we can get that 70 or 80%.
Hey, guys, that's why fundamentals are so important. You know, in the blocking and tackling of politics is principle. You got to have principles, or else you're going to be swayed by somebody coming in with an inch thick study telling you that you're going to make all this money if you just sign right here. And if your gut, you know, that gut feeling, you know, that's how we operate on the individual level with principles. And, you know, the Alabama Policy Institute advocates limited government. This would expand government. We advocate for free markets because we know that leads to human flourishing. This would, you know, limit markets. And, you know, another principle that I write about in the op-ed that you can find on alabamapolicy.org is one of prudence, which says we shouldn't rush decisions if we're not certain. And, you know, somebody can wave all that money in our face, but when we look at our friends in these other states and saying, oh, yeah, but looks like they bought a lemon, it's best to walk away. And that's why we need our lawmakers to have principles and to stick to them. And that's the only way you can resist somebody walking by with a briefcase full of money promising, you know, sunshine and rainbows.
So if you before we wrap up here, if you had to score this legislative session so far and things that have been done or things that look like they're going to be done, how much of that was based on principle and how much of that was based on political expediency?
Well, I'm really hopeful that they revisit the tax issue. You know, they raised gas taxes, but we were advocating for decreasing them by an equal amount somewhere else. There's still an opportunity for them to do that. There's still an opportunity for them to lower the gas tax by as much as they raise, to lower the grocery tax as much as they raise the gas tax. So if you're going to pay an extra $300 at the gas station, you'll save an extra $300 at the grocery store. That's what they're hoping. And if they can do that and pull that off, then I think they would be getting a pretty good grade.
Yeah, that's one of those many places where we line up completely, and it's funny that discussion doesn't, year after year, seems like, oh, okay, now people are going to look at it, they are going to talk about this full freight sales tax on groceries, and then, oh, sorry, session's over. Pepper, Sean, sorry, session's over, man. We were so close.
Hey, man, I got a memory. I'll keep bringing it up. You know, we all need to.
That's for sure. Remind folks, too, your website, how they get in touch, how they read more.
AlabamaPolicy.org, and if you do the Twitter, I'm on there at @JPepperBriars.
Good stuff. Pepper, thanks for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Sean.
123 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, we'll grab some calls and also some of the audio of the former governor could be candidate for Senate 2020. Ready for Bentley again?